Good morning, those of you at home. It's good to be worshiping with you again. Isn't it awesome to be gathered? We could be at home, we could be in a building, and we're all together through our faith in Jesus. And that's what makes us a church. I'd like to invite you to partner with us today. We're going to have our time of giving today, and so I want to invite our ushers to come forward this morning to receive our offering here in just a moment. And now, just a quick reminder, as we have today's offering, those of you contributing to Dollar Difference today, that's going to go towards some crawling mats, I believe, for our kids here at in the daycare, as well as for a chalkboard, outdoor chalkboard, to be able to have out the playground. So they're going to have some good stuff to enjoy, and we want to keep investing in that ministry, that opportunity God has given us. So won't you please be a part of just generously helping us keep that moving forward. So if our ushers would go ahead and come on forward to receive our offering today, let's ask that the Lord would bless it, multiply it, and use it for His glory as we keep partnering with Him. Because it's really about Him anyways. It's not about us. So let's keep being a part of what He's doing. Father, we ask today that what we give out of our heart, that You would take, You multiply it, use it, do more than we could ever imagine for Your glory and for the good of the mission that You've given us to go make disciples of Christ who love, grow, and serve. I ask Your blessing in Jesus' name today. Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you, the kids that are here that haven't gone back for a kids' church today, I'm going to cut you guys loose. But it looks like you guys are kind of already on the roll. On the roll. I think I'm too old, so you guys are going to be with me this morning, whether you're at home or here. So we'll journey together, and we'll have a good time. I promise. It'll be good. It'll be highs. There'll be challenges. And we'll be assured that, hey, God knows what He's doing. And so let's walk with Him, okay? So catch you back up on the series we've been in. This is week 3 in our Discipleship Pathway series. And so I want to direct you to the screens today. And at home, we'll pop that up and show that for you there, Discipleship Pathway. Want to let you know, we've been starting out in the top left, which is the Sunday services, that we firmly believe that being an active part of Sunday worship is part of how God grows us in our faith. And we've talked about that week 1. And then we said the second week that we really believe that, you know, God's called us to, in social spaces too, right? To gather with people and to serve together, kind of share God's love with each other and with people in the community. And we want to invite people to be a part of that. And we believe God works in that environment. And then today we're on to, the third part, right? So which one are we going to go to? We're going to small groups, right? We're going to go around the horn, as they say. So today we're going to jump into small groups. And when I talk about small groups, we're going to talk about the, I love that image. I just think it's hilarious. And but actually quite fitting. And so it wasn't just to be funny. But I'm always, you know, I love a good laugh, so why not? But when I talk about small groups today, I'll tell you, I'm talking about like 6 to 12 or so people that gather together on a frequent basis somewhere. And together, that journey that you have together through life has a positive impact on your relationship with God and your growth as a follower of Jesus Christ. If you've ever been in a small group, then probably you could sit here today and inside nod your head and go, you know what, yeah, like I've been a part of that and it has been good for me. Like it's helped shape who I am today and I'm so grateful for that. Or maybe you're just getting into one and you're like, oh, cool, this will be good. Like, I'm going to grow. Or maybe you have never been in one and you're going, okay, so convince me today, Pastor Andy, that this is something that I need to be a part of. So, hey, we'll see if the Spirit will lead us today. So with that being said, let me try to do my best today to answer the simple question, how can a small group being a part of that actually be a positive part of our discipleship journey as a follower of Jesus? And the first thing I want to share with us is that I firmly believe that small groups, like that small group of people, right, they develop in us a life support network. And really, let me say for us, or in us, for. They develop for us like a life support network. Now, I get it that, you know, some of us are really strong, you know. Like, hey, now you look at me and you go, yeah, you're not very strong. I know, I got to hit the weights, but that's not really what I'm talking about today. A life support network is not something just that we need when we feel like we're dying, right? So life support, keep me from dying. No, like it helps, but it's the idea that it develops a group of people around us who can be our counsel. They can be a support for us. They can encourage us. Because if you're not sure, if you think of the world that we live in a fairly kind of at times harsh and critical and mean and hateful, kind of at times bitter and ugly and any other descriptives we want to use, but you have to keep it clean. Okay, I know, like we all have got, like it's a tough world, like this is just not sugarcoat, it's hard, right? It's hard to live in this world and keep your sanity at times. So because life is so hard, that there are times where things happen and we go through traumatic events. And for example, this last year and a half going through COVID has been a traumatic event because life as we knew it turned upside down and we didn't get an opportunity to control it or determine what it looked like in our lives. Like we had to just go along for the ride. And when you go through experiences that are forced upon you and your life turns upside down, it doesn't necessarily have to be an absolute crisis in your life, but it's so shocking in your life, it creates a traumatic experience that you go through. Now, here's the thing you have to know about going through traumatic experiences. Those type of experiences in your brain, physiologically in your brain, it impacts you in a particular way that in your brain, it shuts off part of that reasoning ability in your brain. Now, you can still somewhat reason, but you are more apt to try to protect. You know that fight or flight type syndrome, right? We talk about how the way you react, and so much that's driven by emotion and adrenaline and trying to save oneself, and so da-da-da. So when that's happening, the reason sort of logic part, it sort of closes off. And so you need people around you who are knowing you to help you pause and just stop and look at your life and what's happening and your faith and be that voice of reason and practical, logical thinking to help you see what's really happening and what the truth is in life right now. Because I don't know about you, but when you get, anybody ever get fired up emotionally about something that ever happened? Sometimes it's your spouse, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your job. Maybe it's, you can fill in the blank, right? But you never know that feeling of getting so fired up emotionally about something that you just like can't stop thinking about it and being overwhelmed by it. And it's just like this weight that you keep carrying in. And it's like, when will it stop? For the love of something, please quit. You ever know what that's like? Yeah. It's so hard to stop and think about what's true and real and to be objective in those moments because we're just so overwhelmed. Proverbs speaks voice of wisdom in Proverbs 11:14. It says, without guidance, a people will fall, but there's victory with many counselors. It means there's a thing about being safer when we've got these voices of truth that can speak to us from different perspectives, but to be objectively looking at our life and where we are. And they'll speak calmly, and they'll speak truthfully to us. And they'll do so pointing us to God's love and to God's faithfulness. Because you see, we know that's true. But there's times when we get so overwhelmed with something, we tend to kind of lose sight that even though I'm struggling, God is more than able to handle what concerns me today. You ever been in that play where it's so hard and you're going, God, I'm not going to make it. But you know, before you got in that moment, you were very certain to say, I believe that even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou is with me, and I know it. See, it's a lot easier to believe the truth in the light than it is when you're struggling in the darkness. So you need people that will speak the truth to you in the darkness so it'll help you remember what you believed in the light. Woo, I'm glad I got that right. That would have been disastrous. You need people to help you not doubt what you knew to be true in the light. Small group is a great environment for us to experience that. I asked Lisa if she would come and share with us today, just for a couple of minutes, her testimony of her experience with a small group in her life. And so, Lisa, would you come on and take a moment to share with us? Let's welcome her as she comes up.
Absolutely wonderful, and I can't imagine my life without a small group at this point. You know, there are so many benefits of being in a small group. The biggest one, of course, is growing spiritually, which I certainly feel like I have done. But not only spiritually, relationally, emotionally, did I mention spiritually? At top of my list. I've learned that God ministers to us in so many different ways. Small group is just being one of those. We do a Bible study, and it's very challenging, especially for somebody who doesn't feel real comfortable talking about the Bible. I'm not one that memorizes Bible verses, but being in the small group and being challenged, my goodness, I can't tell you how much I've grown. But the great thing about the small group is there's no judgment. There's no making you feel like you don't know enough to share in the conversation. I just cannot tell you how much I have grown in that regard. No ridicule whatsoever. It's very reassuring to know that you're sitting there with like-minded people, with believers in your small group, and they may be just as fearful as I am about speaking out and saying something, but there is absolutely no judgment whatsoever. A lot of peace comes from being in that small group and walking together with like believers. Couple of the highlights for me in being in a small group, some on the good side, some on the not so good side of my life. It's always good to be in a small group. As you all know, in the last couple years, I've gone through a lot of trials with my life and with my husband. Kenny's health issues, his death, and then my most recent health issue, when I had my first ultrasound on January 13th, and there was a great possibility, I was told greater than 60% chance that I would possibly have breast cancer. That was the day of a small group. We were meeting that night. And I came home and it's like, okay, I'm hiding myself in my house. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to see anybody. I'm just going to sit here. And as I was sitting there, I'm thinking, okay, this isn't good. I can't do this by myself. So I came to small group that night, shared with them what was going on, and it was the best decision that I could have made because they have been with me every step of the way. Going through this, surviving this, going through all these trials, they're there with prayers, cards, prayers, flowers, food, prayers. Believe it or not, they text me. This is the really amazing thing. They even altered some of my clothing to accommodate my surgery. Now, seriously, where are you going to find people that are going to be willing to do that besides in a small group? I mean, you know, it's just amazing. And I can honestly say that I'm standing here before you today by the grace of God and the grace of my small group. But on the lighter side of a small group, now Bible study may be the only thing that you are interested in, and that's perfectly fine. For me, I'm a people person. I like to do things with people. I like to be around people. So I get more out of it than just the Bible study. We laugh, we cry, we laugh, we cry. We go to the movies, we support each other, we go out to eat, we go out to lunch. In one of the small groups that I was in, we traveled together. great, great spiritual growth, relationship growth. Couldn't have done it without any of that happening. And I'm sure I could share a whole lot more with you, but my time is limited. I want to say that this is a complete package of how God wants us to be with our fellow believers and our friends. I hope I've given you enough of an overview of what a small group can be like. For me, it's been my lifeline, and I'm sure most of you probably realize that. So I encourage you, if you're not already in a small group, to seriously consider it, or at least take that first step like I did and ask about it, because you're not going to know unless you ask. And people probably aren't going to feel comfortable coming to you. You might not feel comfortable coming to them, but please do so if you have the slightest, remotest inkling of an interest in being in a small group. The last thing I want to leave you with, how timely. I did not know that Pastor Andy was going to quote Proverbs. I am also. It's one of my favorite verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Actually, I have this on my wall on a stud when we built our house. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Well, not only do I trust in the Lord with all of my heart, but I trust in my small group with all of my heart. Thank you.
I'm back. Thank you, Lisa. Well said. Very well said. All right. So, one of the other things that I want to share with you today is that one of the things small groups does in our lives, we think about spiritual growth, is that it helps to promote spiritual friendships that are centered on Jesus. All right. So, I know I've got some junior high school, and so I want to ask them a question for a moment. So, let's do a little illustration here. So you got a fire, and it's burning down. And so what do you get at the bottom of a hot fire? Embers, coals, right? So let's say that in that fire with the hot coals, you take one. Don't ever pick it up with your hand. But let's say with a pair of tongs or something, or you pick one up out of that, and you set it off to the side. And then you're going to sit there and wait. Here's my question to you. Which two groups is going to cool down the fastest? The all together or the one out by itself? Which one's going to cool down the fastest? The one by itself, absolutely. Because the coal needs the energy, it needs the fire, right? It needs the heat of the collective embers to keep it going. And the rest of them feed off of that one coal as well that's hot. And so together, they stay. I just want to go say they stay lit. That is a whole nother meaning in a whole nother environment that we are not going to use today. They stay warm. Let's just do that, okay? Yeah. Jesus, I'm sorry that I made people's minds go that direction. Please forgive me. Okay. So, we live in a society that is very much independent-minded. Now, we're autonomous, right? I can do, and I'm able to do what I want, when I want, for the most part, however I want it, so on and so forth, and I get to pursue my own dreams, my da-da-da, right? And that's not either good nor bad. It's just, it is kind of the culture we live in. It's the way we see the world. We can't help it because that's the culture we've been raised in. And at the same time, there's something else that's at work in our lives, and that is that we want friendships. Now, there might be some who go, you know what, I don't need other people in my life, but the truth is you want them. You want people that you know that you can trust and rely on, you can lean on, they're going to be there for you. You just may not have had that type of healthy experience in the past, and so you might be a little hesitant or don't understand that it can be good for you. But the truth be told, we are created for friendship, for community, for relationships with people, and small group is an environment that helps to promote that, feel that need in our lives. And it makes total sense. I'm going to tell you why. Because when God made you, he made you in his image. If we go to Genesis, let us make man in our image. So he makes you in his image. And one of the things that we have to understand about God's image is that God eternally exists in community. He exists in a relationship with himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, one being, right? Always has, always will. And so he said, let us create man in our image. So there's a part of our understanding of you as a human being that you are creating the image of a God who only knows community. His love exists in community. His sovereignty exists in community. His desire, his will for your life is all about community. We were made in that image, in that capacity. We have that desire, that longing in our lives for that. Why do you think Facebook has been so critically important to so many people's lives? It helps us to what? To stay connected, right? To feel the part of a community, to know what's going on. And all right, you get it. My experience has been that small groups are really ideal for promoting spiritual friendships in our lives that we need, where you can experience life and faith intersect each other, a place where you're going to wrestle through life together. You get to be around people that you learn how they see the world. You learn how they tick, as they say, right? I mean, you get a chance to see and hear where they struggle. And they get to see all your wrinkles and warts and all. Isn't that fun? Yeah. You get to know people and you come to know that they got your back. That when your back's up against the wall and you need help, that there are friends in your life who, in the name of Jesus, will drop what they're doing and they will come and they will help you because they care about you. They love you. You may not bear your soul to them, and because honestly, 6 to 12 people is kind of too many people to be bearing your soul. It's kind of too much. But you might. But if they need your support, you know that you'd be right there knocking on that door and say, hey, I'm here. What can I do for you? I got you. And God's got us both, so come on. I threw the question out to the church. Some of you guys saw it this week, probably maybe on Facebook and our Connect group page. And Catherine responded back, and she said that joining her small group was like being adopted into a new family. I love that that image. They have shared love, prayers, and support during some big trials in life. Well said. I love that. Friends serving each other, praying for each other, sharing meals together, listening, rejoicing together, praying again together, mourning together. And you see, when you get to do that with people that share a faith that you share, guys, God reaches in and he builds us up. He matures us. He grows us in our faith and the way that we see him and the way that we understand his love. Leslie said it perfectly today that our faith is an active one, that God's love is an active one, and that when we love through our faith, you can't help but love in an active way, like expression of that. That honestly, it's good that we pray for one another, but I would even argue that it's even better when we, in the name of Jesus, step out and we come to someone's aid and say, hey, I'm here to help you paint a room today. I'm here to help you, you know, lay carpet today or whatever. I'm here, you know, it's like got a flat tire on the side of the road. I need help. Whatever it may be. I'm scared about the diagnosis that I just got. I don't want to be alone. We need spiritual friends. We do. Well, now that's kind of the soft, fun part. Support, promote friends, you know, community. It's like, that's good. Now, those of you that like kind of the rubber meets the road, kind of, let's get in. Let's get really, come on, step on my toes a little bit or something, you know. By the way, that's usually not me. That's usually God that's in the business of doing that. But anyways, small groups challenge us. If we invest in them with each other, one of the fun things about small groups is they challenge us to keep our hearts and our minds directed towards Jesus. Now, if we're going to be real, there are things and times in life where we get tempted to doubt that God is enough in our lives. Just going to be real. Now, be honest, right? Be honest and go, there are times when, yes, I get tempted to be prideful. I get tempted to run my mouth. I get tempted to gossip. I get tempted to say, you know what? I really don't want to go to church. I'd rather just sleep in. I get tempted to say, you know what? I don't think God's even really listening to me when I pray. Ain't worth it. We get tempted to go, I don't think God's going to say anything to me through that Bible. It ain't worth really reading it that much. I'll pull it out once in a great while when I need a little, just pick me up. Oh, I'm aggravated. My spouse will understand when I just kind of yell at him or her, tear him or her down, speak out of my anger instead of out of compassion. Oh, they'll forgive me. Because if there's some place that I need to be able to say what I think and how it ought to be at home with my family, and so you're tempted to just tear them down instead of build them up. Anybody else? Anybody ever been there? Is that just me? Oh, you don't have to raise your hand. Okay. All right. It's good to know I'm not alone. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 infers that we can become insensitive to God because of sin's deception. Sin is dangerous, not to be toyed with. It's destructive, deadly, but the wages of sin is death. Sin is real, and it matters. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Scripture tells us, Psalms, guard your heart. Guard it. On the front side, we need to think about what we say and what we do. This week, I got the chance to speak at Castle High School with our baccalaureate service. Had a wonderful time. And I encourage the students and the parents. Part of being kind is to filter what comes out of your mouth. Just because you can say something doesn't mean that you should say something. And to be kind is to filter what you do through your actions. Just because you could do something doesn't mean that you should do something to somebody else or to yourself. And it's that kind of character that will transform the world in the name of Jesus. God is the agent of change. But it really begins with Him changing us. And then as He changes us, we are change agents in the world. And that's what I challenge the students to understand and to go be. Chase your career, but I promise you, your career will never take you as far as your character will. And we need people of godly character shaping a godly world today. And so I share that with you as well this morning. We need folks in our lives who will meet with us regularly, who are hearing what we're going through. They're listening, they're watching, not in order to criticize or to condemn us, but to come alongside us and to have safe, supportive dialogue with us, to ask us good questions that will direct our hearts and minds toward Jesus, to the Scriptures. I used to be in a small group. I was the second one to lead the small group, and then it quit, so I figured it was probably because of me that it all died. No. I used to be in a small group. It was for pastors, and we called it SHAPE, you're right, so Sustaining Health and Pastoral Excellence. So it was a group of five of us, and we met once a month. We were coming from different parts of the state of Michigan, and these were my peers, and as we would meet together, we would take time to always share what's going on in our lives, not trying to gauge whose church is doing better, right? But like, how are you doing today? And we just look at each other and we get to talk. And that as we got to know each other even better, it changed from just talking, which sometimes you need to do. You need to vocalize what's going on in life, right? Sometimes you just need to dump out of your mouth what's happening, right? Put words to your experience. That helps. But as we grew closer to each other, it became a time that we would listen. Then, talk about challenge. When old Andy was focusing a little too much on how I was going to either fix or make right or change something I didn't like or I wasn't thinking right, you know what they were good to do? Oh, they just pull right from Scripture, just like good old pastors like to do. and they would just speak, cut right to my heart. say, what about this? It's like, ugh. They're stepping on toes, right? But in a good way. Well, I hear you saying this, and I think this is what I hear you saying. So let me ask you this. And then part of that is stopping to listen. When somebody that you trust speaks a word of truth, a word of counsel, that you don't shut them down. But you say, God, help me to hear what you want to say to my spirit right now through this person whom I trust, your spirit speaking through to me. And how do I know this to be the case? Because I'm trusting that as they're speaking the words of Scripture as biblical, wise counsel to me, not their personal opinion. You know the big difference between my mama said and Jesus said. Well, my grandpa always told me, well, but God's word says this. Sometimes those can agree. But sometimes we like what we learn growing up, but that doesn't always correlate just right with Scripture. And so the wisdom of wise counsel from the word may point us in a different direction. And we have to be humble enough to say, you know what? I've always believed X, but I'm learning, I think today, that actually Y is the better way. And I love that question, why? You know, one of the best things you can do in a small group with somebody is ask the question, why? You don't have to solve problems, but to ask, why? Why do you think that? Why do you feel that way? Well, because this. Huh. So if I hear you right, I'm hearing you say this. Is that correct? Yes. Why do you think you responded that way? Why was that so important for you in that moment? I'm not telling you how to fix your life. I'm not criticizing you. I'm not condemning you. I'm not throwing you under the bus. I'm pointing you to a place where you can reflect and you can listen to the Holy Spirit of God through biblical counsel with others, that you can just listen to God speak truth to you that I can't speak to you because I don't know your heart like God knows your heart, and I don't know your motivations like God knows your motivations, and I don't know your struggle bus like God knows your struggle bus. But I trust that if we gather in the name of Jesus and the Spirit of God is amongst us, that somewhere in your thinking, the Spirit of God is going to speak truth to you. And my prayer is that you're going to hear it and you're going to listen. And as you listen, you're going to be challenged to answer the question that you guys have heard me ask for weeks. And I asked it again at Castle. When you hear it, what will you do now with what you now know? Faith requires a response. Personally, I've learned, I'll tell you this, when you lean into being challenged with Scripture, godly wisdom coming from people that you trust, you end up getting ministered to by the Spirit of God in those spiritual friendships that are your support network. And Hebrews 3:13 actually happens, right? It's like, encourage each other every day as long as it's called today so that none of you become insensitive to God because of sin's deception. You often become insensitive to something the more you become exposed to it and you don't understand the impact of what that thing can negatively do in your life. You become insensitive to that. So what is he saying? You need people that will encourage you and help you to see, oh, that is a dangerous thing in my life. Oh, the impact of this. Oh, if I keep thinking this way over and over, it's going to transform my mind in a negative way. If I live in fear every day, ultimately I'm going to fail because I'm going to succumb to the fear. But if I live every day of faith, I have the potential to flourish. I firmly believe that we flourish by faith and we fail by fear. What you think matters. Because what you think influences what you do, which also influences who gets the glory. You, God, or something in between. You know, Jesus had them crazy 12 disciples. He was running around with a small group all the time. It was kind of wild how he did that. And he challenged those disciples because he wanted them to grow in their faith. He wanted them to hear the truth. He wanted them to look at their life on a daily basis and answer, are you living by faith today? Go do this. Come back. Okay, so you struggle because you weren't living by faith. Like in the rhythm of the day, he's pointing them to faith. He's pointing them to trust. He's pointing them to walk out and to be obedient. Every day. Every day. And he wants them to do likewise. And he used the scriptures to redirect and to refocus them toward their faith. And as we do that for each other, God grows us. And it makes sense. Because, I mean, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, some of you know probably exactly where I'm going with this. I want to read it to you. Every scripture is inspired by God. So the scriptures are God-breathed, right? And is useful for teaching, for showing mistakes, for correcting, for training character, so that the person who belongs to God can be equipped to do everything that is good. We need people that will speak the scriptures into our lives as words of wisdom. I believe a small group is one of the best environments for that to happen in our lives. And so given these things that I've shared with you, that you've heard today, Lisa's testimony, my own personal testimony, I felt it right that we just end with Hebrews 10, 24, 25. Here's what it says. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more, as you see the day approaching. We are in last times. We are waiting the return of Jesus. Nobody knows when, but he's coming, right? And we need to help each other in the season that we're in. In a hard life that we live in this culture, we need each other. We need to know that people have got our back. We need to know that when we're struggling, all I got to do is say, pray for me. And I know that somebody whom I just texted, I know they got my back and I know my group is praying for me. I don't even have to worry about it. All I have to do is say, help me. And they probably already know exactly what I need help with because they know my story, right? They know where I'm at in life because I'm communicating with them, right? I'm doing life with them. They know these things. Man, that's so encouraging. I love it. It's one of my favorite parts of having a small group. So all of that being shared, we believe that a small group is a very healthy, vital, critical part of our discipleship pathway, which is just a way in which we can live our lives, a path we walk, that helps us to grow as disciples of Christ who are loving and growing and serving, right? And so next week, I'm going to bring up the fourth part of this, which is going to be probably the most challenging of the four, but it's going to be good. It's going to be rich. So be with us again and worship with us again next week. We want to have you dialing in. Don't miss this last part. It's super, super good, but it's really super important too. And so I look forward to having you worshiping with us again as we go into the Word and see how God likes to grow us, right? And how we think we can grow best here at New Hope. So with that being said, can I ask you if you would to stand this morning? Those that are on site, hey, if you want to stand at home, that's totally up to you, but of course you don't have to. And we're going to close out our service in song today. If you're interested, as they're coming out, hey, if you're interested in knowing more about small groups we have, or maybe even like, hey, I'd like to start one, right? We'd love to talk with you and to walk through that with you, help you kind of get plugged in and keep on growing as a follower of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to share from your word, to share the stories of how powerful it can be when your people do life together and just a small group of people. Thank you for that. We need that support network of spiritual friends who can not just love us, well, they love us, yes, and part of that's challenging us to keep our hearts and minds focused on you as we live in these final days. So, Lord, may you continue to bless these words and grow us as we walk with Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen.